Well, the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that we should be casting all our care upon Him, that is God, for He cares for you. We're to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for you. I was actually planning on preaching something else, but I'm aware that there are a number of you in the congregation who are experiencing significant cares. You're carrying significant burdens. For some of you, it's one significant thing that you're carrying or have been carrying for some time. For others, it is a number of small cares that you're carrying. And the question is this: what do we do with our cares when they arise? What do we do with those things that weigh us down? Those burdens that we carry around in our minds? The things that disturb us, even distress us? What do we do with these cares that we carry around with us? Well, the Bible tells us what we are to do. In verse 7, that we are to cast all of our care upon Him, God, because He cares for you. We are to cast all our cares upon Him. And we have this wonderful encouragement, if we needed it, that we should cast all our cares upon Him in the certain knowledge that He cares for us. So when we have our cares, and it is a matter of if, it is a matter of when and not if, then this is what we are to do. We are to cast our cares upon the Lord Jesus with this assurance that He cares for us. And I want us to look at this important truth this morning under 3 points. First of all, our cares. Secondly, casting them upon God. And then thirdly, knowing that He cares for you. So our cares, casting them upon God, He cares for you. First of all, our cares. We all have cares to one degree or another. Cares are the burdens that we carry around with us in our minds. They are the things that divide our minds. That is what this word care means. Speaking here of having a divided mind where things are distracting us and driving us to distraction. If having multiple things perhaps that are going on in our minds and we're trying to balance them in our minds. And if you know anything about this letter, you will know that they certainly had cares back then. Cares that we know nothing about. Cares of a persecution nature. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter writes of the various trials that these Christians were going through. They were experiencing not just one trial, but various trials. And then we saw in our reading that Peter described it as a fiery trial. Chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial." These were not small trials. The Apostle Peter, who knew something about suffering, didn't he? He himself calls these trials that they were going through fiery. They were experiencing persecution of one sort or another. We're not exactly sure what it is, but if Peter is calling it fiery, then we are quite sure that it is something along those lines. He describes it as sharing with the sufferings of Christ. The idea here is one of a furnace, and Len will know this well, of melting metal in a very hot fire. It is speaking of an oppressive trial, something that is unbearable that these people were going through. And if we try to apply this to ourselves, we're not experiencing that kind of fiery trial, but it may be that to one degree or another, you are feeling something like that in your life. You're going through a fiery trial, something that is oppressive, even unbearable. If not now, perhaps you've experienced that in the past and God has brought you through it, or there will be a time when you experience a fiery trial. Your mind will be divided. It will be driven to distraction because of this fiery trial that you are going through or will be going through. And it may be something that is known to you, or it may be something that's unknown to you. You may know exactly why it is that you are experiencing this fiery trial. Perhaps something has happened to someone you know. Perhaps something has happened in your own life and you're able to point exactly to that thing that you know is causing you that to experience, go through this fiery trial. It is known to you. And you can spell it out in detail. Or perhaps it's something that's unknown to you. It's the uncertainty of something that is causing you to walk through a fiery trial. Perhaps it's waiting for something and you don't know what the outcome will be. What will happen when? ... And sometimes it's the unknown things that are actually the harder cares that we carry around with us. The uncertainty that they bring. And they weigh us down. Maybe it's one large care that we have. Maybe it's one of many small cares that we have. The everyday cares that we all experience every day. The more significant things. How am I going to provide for my family? Will my children embrace the faith or will they return to the faith? There's a whole range and spectrum of cares that each one of us bear with us. Why did God bring this into my life? Why did God not bring this thing into my life? There are all kinds of things that I could stand here and try to list the things that could easily be cares in your life. Perhaps it's something altogether different. It's the battle that you're experiencing with the world, the flesh and the devil, and you feel like you're making no progress in that important area of your life. And it's getting you down. It's a care to you. You see, there's all kinds of things that could be going on in your mind, driving you to distraction. And the question is this, what do we do with our cares? Well, the Bible tells us that we are to cast them upon God. But it says there, casting all your care upon Him. When we have cares, and it is a matter of when and not if, then we are to cast our cares upon Him. Now, this needs to be known for a start. Perhaps this is new to you. I don't know where you are spiritually or your understanding of the Bible. Perhaps your diet up until this point has been self-help books or advice from friends or information from the internet. The Bible tells us what to do with our cares. And we need to know this and we need to practice it. It's one thing knowing it, isn't it? And then putting it into practice, whatever it is. But we need to know that we are to cast our cares upon God. It may be that we try to keep our cares to ourselves and try to work out our cares ourselves. Or if it's too unbearable for us, we may speak to someone that we trust, pick up the phone to that one person that we can always rely on. Perhaps if it's really serious, we'll speak to a Christian counselor or a pastor. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things. Sometimes they're necessary, in fact. There's a place for each one of them, especially elders here are called to be the under-shepherds of the flock in this passage that we read. But I want to say that none of these things should replace casting our care upon God. As necessary and important as these things are, they should not be a replacement for casting our cares upon God. We should cast our cares upon God first. Sometimes there may be a delay in casting our cares upon God. We may try to fix our cares ourselves. We might try to share our cares first, and then we'll turn to God when it's too hard for us or them. But no, God should be the first port of call when the cares arise in our minds. By all means, reach out to other people, but only after you have first gone to God. This is what Psalm 55 says and where this passage is taken from. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. We are to cast our cares first on the Lord. And notice what we are to do with our cares when we bring them to God. We are to cast them upon God. That is the word that is used. It doesn't simply say that we are to bring them, although that is obviously included. We are to cast them upon our God. That word cast means a decisive, intentional act of shifting a burden. Let me break that down. It means shifting your care decisively away from you, once and for all. Interestingly, it's been used in Greek literature to describe when fishermen cast their cargo off a boat in the midst of a storm. So, for example, in Homer's Odyssey, when the fishermen try to cast off their cargo from the boat, that is what they are doing. They are casting to try and save themselves. It is that kind of decisive, intentional shifting the care away from you that we are being called to do. It's not the kind of casting that a fisherman does when he casts his line in and after a time hopefully reel something back in. It's not that kind of casting that we're meant to do with our cares. The idea of casting it to God and then reeling it back in and going it all over it all in our minds again. It's not that kind of casting to ruminate on things. It's a decisive casting away of our cares from ourselves onto God. A decisive thing, never to be returned. And we're to continually doing this. Look at this. Casting. Verse 7. Casting. It's not a one-off. Casting our cares. Or casting some things and not others. It is a continual casting our cares upon God. Each and every time a care arises in our lives, we are to cast them away from us. Over and over again. Casting your care away from yourselves and upon God. Now, we could be tempted to think that casting our cares away from us is actually an irresponsible thing to do. That somehow we're neglecting our duty by not dealing with the thing that's before us. But I want to tell you that it's the complete opposite of that. We are actually being responsible in dealing with our cares when we cast them upon God. Because we are saying that we cannot deal with this significant care now ourselves, and we're taking it to someone who actually can. That is the responsible thing to do. We are casting our cares upon God because we cannot deal with that care and because He is able to do something about it. God is all powerful. He is all wise. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. And so when we are taking our care to Him, we are actually taking responsibility for that care and giving it to someone who can actually do something about it. And so there's another question, isn't it? How is it that we actually cast our cares upon God? I think most of you will know the answer to this. Do we need to do something really difficult to cast our cares upon God? Do we need to climb a mountain barefoot or something like that? No. There's this wonderful simplicity in casting our cares upon God. We cast our cares upon God through prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we have cares, we go to God, we've established that, and we go to God in prayer. There is this notion that has arisen that you write something on a pebble and throw it into a sea. That's crept into the church. That is nonsense. We are to pray to God. Pray to God. We sing this wonderful hymn, don't we? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. This is how we are to cast our cares upon Him. That decisive casting away from ourselves, we do it by praying to God. And we have this wonderful encouragement to do so, because when we are casting our cares upon God, we have this wonderful encouragement that He cares for you. Thirdly, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. What a comforting thing to know that even though God is all powerful and all wise, even though He is high and lifted up, as we sang, He dwells with the lowly. He cares for them. To know that someone cares for us is so comforting, isn't it? Because I'm sure that most of us will have had an interaction with people who don't care about our circumstances. It's very obvious usually. And they show themselves to be cold and callous people by not showing an interest in what you're saying. You know, sometimes people who are, can minimize things, they can try and explain them away, might even try to lecture you for not having the right outlook in what is really going on. I wonder if you've had that kind of advice. Job in the Old Testament got that kind of advice from his friends. They were absolutely certain why Job was going through that suffering, confident to the max. They knew why it was going on. What happened to them? Well, if you read the end of Job, God had a word for them. And perhaps you've had a similar experience to Job. You've unburdened yourself, maybe eventually, and someone has not shown you care. People have said careless things, try to minimize your cares or explain them away. Well, let me assure you of this. God is not like that. God cares for His people. He really does. That word care, when it says that He cares for you, means that we are of interest to God. We are His concern. That He has a strong regard for us. This is the kind of care that God has for His people. And it's what the Bible teaches us in other places. If we know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to conclude that He is compassionate. You read the Gospels and you study His life, He is described as someone who was moved with compassion time and time again. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them. When He saw the widow who had already lost her husband and now had lost her son, what does it say? He was moved with compassion for her. The Lord Jesus Christ is our compassionate high priest. He cares for you. He knows all about pain and suffering. Not someone who is unfamiliar with these things. He was tempted at all points. Much of his life was one of having cares. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I could go on. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about cares. And even though he has ascended in heaven, even though he is there, his compassion is no less. You could argue that it's even more. He still wears our nature in heaven. He still is a real man that we sing about in that wonderful hymn. He still remains full of compassion for his people. And in chapter 3 and verse 21, it says that his eye is upon us. His eye is upon us. Even though he is so high and exalted, he still cares for each and every one of you. Now, of course, all this does not stop people questioning God's care. We even see this in the Bible. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was at Mary and Martha's house for a meal and all the work was left to Martha? And she said to the Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? And do you remember the disciples when they were in the midst of that storm on the Sea of Galilee? They came to Jesus and said, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care? And perhaps the recipients of this letter that Peter wrote, who were going through various trials, going through these fiery trials, had begun to question God's care for them. If God cares, why do we have cares? Well, it's here that we have to say that only God knows. That's the short answer. Only God knows why we have certain cares in our lives. But I want to tell you this, we can certainly trust God. And we know that he cares for us. It is notoriously difficult to interpret God's providence. And so we can comfort our hearts with general truths only. And even then, we may be wrong. So, for instance, it may be that God is bringing difficult circumstances into our lives or the lives of those that we love. For instance, that he may form Christ more in us. That is his ultimate aim. That there's a project going on in us. That God is forming us to the image of his Son, and suffering is often used for that. The psalmist said, it was good that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. In our suffering, he may be pruning us to make us more fruitful. Those of us who are gardeners, I should exclude myself from that. Those of you who are gardeners, I'm not going to claim that I'm a gardener, but you know what pruning is, don't you? It is brutal. You cut it right down to the quick. And then next year or whatever it is, you are amazed that it comes back more fruitful, even though you did that aggressive, almost life-threatening thing. This is what God is doing it. He is pruning us, as it says in John 15, that we may bear more fruit. It may be, and all these things that I'm giving you are not giving you exact reasons why you're going through certain things or other things. These are just general truths. I don't want to be like Job's friends. It may be that he is trying to get your attention. C.S. Lewis wrote this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our consciences, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Do you know, there could be 10 more things I could give you of why God is doing something, and none of them could be right. for your particular circumstance. That is the difficulty of interpreting providence. All we have are general truths and fundamental doctrines about God loving us and caring for us and Him working out all things together for His glory and for our good. That is what we cling to at those times. But if we're in any doubt about how God cares for us, then think about the cross. Think about the cross of Christ, that God the Father sent His Son into this world to save sinners like you and me. That Jesus Christ experienced that all because of His love for His people. And if we're to think about the burdens that we have in our lives, the most important burden has been dealt with through that loving and gracious action. That as John Bunyan wrote in Pilgrim's Progress, his burden of sin had been rolled away. That is the most important burden that we have. You do realize that. And I'm not saying this to minimize any of your burdens. But if our sins have been dealt with, then that is the most important burden that has been taken away from your life. Your life may be cumbered with burdens from that moment on. But if you've got that care taken off, that is the most important one. That your sins have been dealt with and all the ramifications that follow with that. Your care have been dealt with through the love of God in Christ by dying on the cross. And so we are caused to ponder at God's providence in our lives and the lives of others. But as cares arise in our lives, and it is a matter of when and not if, then this is what we are to do. Yes, we're not experiencing the same cares that they did back then in this letter, but by extension, this is our remedy, this is our medicine, that we are to continually be casting our care upon God in the sure and certain knowledge that He cares for us. So I pray that will be an encouragement to you. Pray it will be medicine to your soul this morning and in the days and weeks to come. And let us sing in response the next hymn.